We're up to, let's see. Okay, we're up to Shin Lamed Aleph. Shaloi. The halacha Shin Lamed Aleph on page Reish Samach Dalet. Page Reish Samach Dalet. Reish Samach Dalet halacha Shin Lamed Aleph in Hagabai. When is it time to retire? When is it time to retire? I'll start with a joke. I told this to you once before, just to remind you how long a shelf life is. There's once a Maggid Shir, and he says, you know, when I started saying Shir, I used to prepare enormous amount of time for every single Shir. And then, you know, life got busy, got very, very busy. Family, obligations, parnasa. I got busy with Talmidim, this, that. And I didn't have the same amount of time to prepare quality Shir. But, you know, I pulled through. Then life got even busier, I had less time, but I used to feel guilty. I would come into the shir, I would appear a little bit, and then I pulled it off. Then I got to a point where I didn't prepare. I just did not have enough time to prepare, and I said the shir, but I had such guilt. Oh, how could I do such a terrible thing and say a shir without preparing? And then came the point in time in my life where I gave a shir, I didn't prepare one word, and when the shir was over, I said to myself, wow, that was a great shir. Then I knew it's time to retire. You get to the point where you don't prepare at all, and you think, you fool yourself and think that you gave a good shir without preparing, you know it's time to go. You don't belong saying a shir anymore. Okay, so here we have over here a person, over here was a gabbai, and the question is it time for him to retire? Because people are not happy with his performance. Shin Lamed Aleph, im hagabbai, shoymea, meha nevolim. Now over here, he's a very nasty word. Nevolim over here means lowly people. Sheoimrim lo, they say to him, shechoshtim oso, they suspect that he's not honest. He's taking the money for himself, he's corrupt. He's a corrupt person. Al yakpid al divrehem, a person should not be influenced by what the people say. People from the peanut gallery, get lost. Shenemar is a pasuk in Yeshaya, ki novel nevelo yidaber. A novel speaks words of nonsense, of lowliness. The ein tzarich losum elibo, person should have the perseverance not to be affected by the nasty comments people say. Today we live in a world like none other. Social media. Comments on the social media is literally the cesspool of this world. What people write in the comments on any social media post, it is unbelievable how low society can go. What people write, is there any truth in what people write in the comments? Who knows? Sometimes there's a
truth. It's opinion.
It's okay. It's amazing across the board. By the Goyim, by the Frum, by the ultra orthodox, what people write in the comments. Okay, everyone, I don't have to go tell you. You know yourself. Avil, here he writes something very Avil. Im rabim heim. Criticism is good to a point, but if you get to the point where everyone is saying nasty things, Avil im rabim heim shemadabim ein anu chafetzim b'cha. If there are many people who do not want you, then yoimar b'fnei hatovim kevan sharabim misramim, since the many, the rabim, the masses, are complaining, tivcharu ish sheyehe kichefzam, you know what? Choose someone better. It's time to step down. This little paragraph that we read over here is a springboard to talk about when it's time to call it quits, when people are not happy with your performance. We'll look at all these political, all these candidates for political positions, and you go, really, yes, the Democratic Party, are they really want Biden to run? Really? Really, he won the primaries. How did he win the primaries? How do you do that? Really? All the people who are Democrats, is this the candidate they really want? Really? I don't know. I guess so. Something doesn't make sense.
Only a small portion voted. Well, it goes on both sides.
Why wasn't there another candidate? They have a candidate. Okay, we're not talking about Republicans. We're talking about their parties.
I mean,
their part.
Each party, there's only a minority that's voting. So let's not kid ourselves with anything.
No one can challenge him.
Big mouths are the ones who are
right. Okay, right.
But it doesn't mean that everybody hates you.
You need a massive amount.
All right. Okay, it is what it is. A person should be honest with himself, and he should know that if people don't want me, what am I doing? What? You can't succeed in a place where they don't want you to succeed. Even the rabbanim, any position. If you want, you can manipulate. You can use a heavy hand to get what you want. And then what? And then what? You won. Fine. You won the election. You won. You got the vote. And then what? Most people don't want you. So how are you going to lead when the people who you're leading don't want you and they don't want you to succeed? You can never ultimately succeed in a place or with people who do not want you to succeed. Let's go further. Shin Lamed Gimel. Shin Lamed Beis. Page Reish Samach Dalet. Shin Lamed Beis. Gadol HaMa'aseh. This is another very controversial thing that he says over here. Everyone knows a lot of things that he says. Sefer Chassidim, getting a little bit of a flavor, is he takes concepts and he dilutes them. He dilutes he dilutes things that you think like this Mamre Chazal. Gadol hamaaseh yoseh min oseh. Greater is the one who is an enabler, who encourages other people to do more than doing it yourself. Raising money. It's a very nice thing to give tzedakah, but it's a much greater thing to influence other people to give tzedakah. You can give whatever you can give, but the ultimate schus is to convince other people to give tzedakah. Number one, you'll raise a lot more money, because how much can one person already give? How much can one person support an organization? It's not a kunst. You have people over here that are very, 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 very wealthy, and they single-handedly support organizations. But the day is going to come when they're not going to be able to do that anymore. There's no such thing as being able forever to be a one-man show and support an organization. I know of an organization. It's a massive, massive organization. And it's basically single-handedly supported by one person. Mamish, one person supports the entire thing. I mean, I know halavai, it should go on forever. But what's going to happen one day when this person, that's it, he can't go continue to pay the crazy amounts of money. What is going to happen to that organization? Really, everyone just going to come up and step up to the plate and take over and give crazy amounts of money to keep it going? It's a very dangerous game. It's a very dangerous game where we have one person supporting an entire organization. The Chafetz Chaim, he would not allow, when he did things, and he had rarely situations, this is what they say with different stories, is where people were willing to pay the whole bill, and he did not allow. Cannot have one person just taking care of something, because ultimately it's not sustainable. So here you have a person who's Godel HaMa'aseh, you're not doing the entire thing yourself, but you are influencing other people to do, that is greater than Yoseh Min Oseh. Now he writes over here a chiddush. Don't flex your muscles too much. If the people that you are influencing to support the help don't really want to help out, then it's gezel. In other words, you make an appeal in shul, and you embarrass people to give money they don't want to give. That is gezel. Dafka im ma'aseh. Ma'aseh means you force. I don't know if the word force is, right, the word is you strongly encourage to a degree more than you should. Dafke ma'aseh es ha'ashirim, aval, so the ashirim are able to give. Aval im ma'aseh, if you force, es she'eino yochol lehisparnes, and out of shame you make him give money, ki ilu hu goizla, that is gezel. Don't get over carried away with this Maimer Chazal. Gadol hama'aseh yoseh min oseh. If a person does not want, don't force him. Ashrei, another example. Ashrei maskil adol, praiseworthy, is a wise man who knows how to deal with the poor. What does that mean? Imtira adam chashav adam she'ena hagun holcham ubam lo'ir. If you see, this is a very strange thing when he's over here. If you see a person who is chashav, two people walk into shul. Two people walk into shul at the same time and they ask for a handout. V'noistim l'sha'ein le'hagun yoytzer me'asher noistim le'hagun. And the people in the shul, they give more money to the person that does not deserve than to the person that deserves. Goram l'zeh, sh'lo yiyeh z'chus l'hakohol kol kach. When that happens, the tzibur in Shemaim, there's a kitroik on the tzibur. Why did you give more money to this fellow who does not deserve at the expense of not giving money, tzedakah, support, to someone else who is fitting? Shemizamnim lohem en ha-shamayim, mi she'eino hogun, lo seis yoyser, the tzibur, by supporting, they're basically channeling money to someone that does not deserve. Ulema'et la'toivim. The oidgarim sheze avoid, and here he really goes off the beaten track. The oidgarim sheze avoisav o imoisav, hoya biyodam oisher, uveshvil lehis goe, nosnu lumi sheene hogun kede le shabuchoi, ucheshaba uloi hakoivim oitoivim shaloi shabuchu, hoya memait loses lohem. He's giving less. Now, he just say, it seems like he's just saying the same thing again, basically, and that is, when a person has money, I'm not sure what he's saying. Everything over here is very, 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 very cryptic in what he's trying to say, but it sounds like if a person has money, birusha, and he's giving that money away for tzedakah, and the tzedakah you give is a zuchus for the people in Shemayim. If you give the money to the wrong people, you give the money to the wrong people, and in Shemayim, the people who work hard for that money, they're getting less merit because the money is not going to the right place. And what's going to happen? Mida kineged mida, madadu loy min ha-shamayim, mida b'mida, shalachedim merachamim, v'olav yalzaroi ein merachamim. The day will come when the people who redirect money, who direct money to the wrong place, when they will come their turn in this world, and they will need to be on the receiving end. Money that really should go to them will end up going to someone who does not deserve. Hashem, do not be gracious to the orphans. Now you have to read the whole context of the pasuk, but he's basically saying over here is, Think about this in the big picture of things. If a person has in his possession assets, money, and he's now given the task to distribute the money to different people who come forward, and there are people that are worthy and there are those that are less worthy, it's a very important achrayis to do the right thing. And many times, whatever is not worthy, there's glory and glamour in giving money to some nice, shiny, new organization. Someone's making an appeal for DEI, okay, for gender identity. Wow, in the country, this is such a shiny little new toy, okay, to go sponsor all these narishkites and all these crazy mishigasim. In a company. You have a company, these goisha companies, and they have special funds for different programs, and you're going to allocate money for...
You're a little behind the curve here.
There's a pushback. Now there's a pushback.
That's already peaked.
I don't know if it's peaked, but there's a pushback to a small degree. A little bit of, not so much. A little bit of pushback, not so much. Halavai, there should be a very... It's not a little pushback, not much. But let's say, whatever it is, anything, if someone comes into shul, and there are two organizations that want money, and there's a tzedakah fund, and one organization is very popular, but we all know it's just a joke. The money that they're using over here is going for the wrong purpose. Then there are people, you know, it's not glamorous. People, they're poor people, and there's no glamour. And because it's not, you know, it's not a glamorous tzedakah, it's going to get a lot less. And the one that has the glitter and the glamour and all, you know, the fame and the people behind it, they're going to get all the money. So he says there's something very, very scary. And he says that there always comes a time in this world when a person who once used to be the giver will be the receiver. It's a gilgul ha-choyzer ba'olam. Money goes from person to person. And if it's not one generation, it's the next generation. And a person should be very careful that if he will go and make a bad decision and give money to people that do not deserve instead of giving to people who do deserve, there will come a time when a person or his descendants, he seems to be saying, will be on the receiving end, and there will be money available. But instead of the money that was meant to be for him going to him, it will go to someone who does not deserve. Hashem keeps cheshbon. This is spooky stuff. This stuff is like, you know, it's like esoteric stuff. Yeah, but he says it. He says it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps cheshbon. Yeah.
Hashem
will bring it about in a future down the line when this individual,
the end result is the same.
He says these are abstract concepts. Let's say, for example,
it's going to go to a bad cause.
Let's say, for example, let's not talk very deep.
They're going to have rachmanis on other people.
The money.
It's going to be bad places that those other people are going to send.
Nobody seems to
lose. He says
equal. It doesn't say it's going to go to cause that are not worthy. What it means is that if a person has an opportunity, person is in a position where he has, where there's money to be distributed, and there's a lot of pressure to give funds to things that are really not worthy, but you know it's popular. But by giving the money to what's popular, there's going to be limited funds, and causes that are really, really worthy are going to suffer. There are consequences, because down the line, years later, let's say this person will have his own organization or whatever it will be, and will need funding, and there will be money available. Min hashamayim, there is accountability. When you had an opportunity to distribute funds, you did not take it seriously, and you did not do the job with responsibility. When it'll come your turn to be the one who needs funding, the money's not going to go to you. Hashem will see to it that there will be competitors, as you're saying, Revelezer, will be worthy competitors, but your organization will be just as worthy, and it's not going to get the funding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps cheshbon. Next halacha, Shin Lamed Gimel. Ruvain Sha'omar L'Shimon Tzei V'Sein Elu HaMois L'Loimdei Torah. It's a very interesting idea what he says here. It's a very, very interesting idea. Yeah, basically, let me just tell you in a nutshell what it says, and then we'll read it inside if I'm saying correctly. You have over here, let's say, institutions. I'm just talking in abstract, broad terms. You have institutions that get funding, let's say, from a shul. You have a shul, they raise a lot of money, and they give money to an established institution. And then someone in the shul comes along and says, you know what? I have a child, I have a relative that is, it's a startup. A startup. And they're doing now exactly the same thing that this institution is doing. There's a yeshiva. It's been around for 100 years. It's well established. Every year we raise money for them. Guess what? I'm one of the big balabatim in the shul. I have a child. He opened up a new yeshiva. So Torah is Torah. Instead of every year raising money for this institution that we've done for the last 50 years, and we make an appeal, that's our tradition. We raise an appeal. Talk about Matanas Lev Yoinim. I'll give you an example. Matanas Lev Yoinim. Let's go. Every year we're raising money for a certain organization. And now someone comes along and says, there's a new startup. And you know, it's close to heart. It's our own people. Let's raise, the money that we raise should go to the startup, and we will stop funding the old organization. They have plenty of money. They'll find money. The startup, you know, it needs the money. He basically says you can't do that. You can't go. He doesn't say the word chazaka, but he says once there are people who already have been established to do what they're doing, and they have won your favor in that they receive funding from you, to now switch to a startup is not correct. Let's see the words inside. Ruvain Sha'omar L'Shimon. say, go out, v'sein elu hamos, leloimde Torah lishma. Give, you have money available, give it to this yeshiva. Give it to this yeshiva. V'yesh l'shimon, kiroivim, aniyim, Shimon, who has the money, he has relatives who are poor. V'yesh nochrim, now nochrim does not mean goyim, nochrim means new people, strangers. Sho'oiskim b'toyro, now that refers over here to the original organization. Ukroivim shel Shimon oimrim tein lanu v'nasaik b'toyro. Okay, so Shimon has people that are not learning. They're not learning Torah. Give us the money and we will learn for the very first time. We're a startup. We're not learning. We want a job. We want to make a yeshiva. Give us the money so we can make our yeshiva. If the money would not be given to Shimon and his new yeshiva, where would the money go? It would go to a yeshiva that already has been established, people that are already learning Torah for many, many years. So he writes over here, Yitein Lanochim, what is the halacha according to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid? Give the money to the strangers. In other words, not the people, the newcomers. The Nochim over here means give the money to the people that are not part of your community. Lanochim, Shekvor Osku Batoira, that already have established themselves for years to be learning Torah. V'yoymar l'kroivav kevan sheloy asaktem ad ata. You're new to the scene. U'v'shvil hamoyis atem oisim ein toiraschem l'shma. Only reason why you want the money is you want a job. You want a job, you want to support yourselves, and it's not correct. U'mefarnesim oisam, and the bottom line is, continue to support those shekivar osku b'atayra. Now, I'm trying to couch these words in, you know, more clean words, not individuals, but talk about, you see this often in organizations, to support yeshivas. There are many communities that have always made an appeal for a certain organization. Even, let's say, for a matonos lo evyoinim organization. Let's say you have a shul that they raise money for Od Yosef Chai. Od Yosef Chai, it's been around for how many years? 25 years? Or let's say you have a Yad Eliezer, or you have Toimche Shabbos, or, you know, the classic Ezra's Torah. Ezra, you have shuls that have been making appeal for Ezra's Torah from time immemorial. And now someone comes along in the shul, one of the big balabatim, member of the board, chairman of the board, he gives the shul a ton of money, and he says, listen, I'm the chairman of the board. We're giving Ezra's Torah money ready for 50 years. Why should we raise and give $10,000 to Ezra's Torah? We have here a new organization in Flatbush.
Closer to home.
Closer to home. Ani Yircha. We have people, Ani Yircha, Mamish, people close to the home. And what do? They do the same thing. They do Mamish the same thing. And it's new, it's fresh, it's a startup. They know of Aniim here, and Ani here, and Ani there. And you know what? They made an organization, a new organization, and we're going to go. Why should we continue giving the $10,000 and making an appeal for Ezra's Torah? Let's make an appeal now for this new organization, because this is my organization. I'm the chairman of the board of the shul. I work for the shul. I do so much for the shul. You guys owe it to me that you should fund my new chesed organization. Didn't you ever hear of it? No. That's why it's brand new. We just started this year. I put it in an ad in the Atet, first time. So according to the Sefer Hasidim, he basically says, no way.
But
no way.
Do it and say, okay, we're going to make two appeals.
No, you make two, there's only limited, why? Every shul should make a million appeals. There's a limited amount of money you can collect. You got to be smart and you got to push you to the limits. But we're going in a case where there's not enough money to go around. You make one appeal.
But that might not necessarily be true. I mean, I've seen it in shuls here. They started, okay, we always make the appeal for Tom Feshavis, but we're also making an appeal.
Also making an appeal.
Right. So there were those who complain, I'm going specifically, okay, there were those saying, like you're saying, we have a second appeal. People are either not going to give here or they're not going to give here.
Right.
You're going to cycle up. And the other people said, no.
Okay, so that's so someone very wise has to make that decision if there's a, if what the situation is. I can tell you, everything here is abstract. These are abstract concepts, and everything here is controversial and subject to debate. And the case to translate the case into the 21st century is very difficult. But the general idea, what he's presenting here is, and this is a very, very common thing, you have shuls, yeshivas, and they raise money for a certain organization every year. And that organization has become very boring. It's a very boring organization. And they do whatever they do, and if you really look into the books, they do good things. And now, someone who's a charismatic person came up with a new tzedakah to fill a new need in the community, and he wants to basically replace, okay, let's use the word replace for the sake of simplicity over here, the old organization, they do wonderful work, whatever they're doing, and now there's something which basically is doing the same thing. But because he's a young guy with a passion and he's also a member of the Kehila and everyone knows him and likes him, and you want to go and chop all the people that give their money every single year, what is the law? What is the halacha? Tzedakah is tzedakah. And you know something, the other organization might not even realize what you're doing. You know, you create an organization, they really know what's going on. They do, they don't, this, that.
Maybe the old organization did the same thing to somebody else.
Maybe. Every shul that starts up, right away there's a din Torah. Every shul in the neighborhood opens up the shul, right? The neighboring shul on the other side of the street takes them to a din Torah. How dare you go open up another shul across the street? And then what happens? They open up a shul and they don't care. They go to best, they don't go to best, and if they go, they for sure lose, that's for sure. And they open up a shul, and then 20 years later, another shul opens up, and the shul that took the first shul to, now they're taking the other shul to Beis Din. Excuse me, you're taking us to a Din Torah. You took someone else to a Din Torah. How dare, you know, like what's going on over here? So, okay, that's a side question. That's a side issue. That's always a problem, side issue. But over here, this is a very common reality, is you have organizations that have somehow lost their glamour. They've lost their glamour. And now there are new people, new generation, and they want to replace the old. What is the law? So, you know, you can't generalize, chas v'shalom. Over here he's talking about something very specific. People that have been koilel from time immemorial, people who are working. And they're going to, if you're going to give us money, we're going to quit our jobs and we're going to sit and learn. Okay, you can't generalize. Okay, you're dealing with learning, not learning, chesed, anim, ani yeir hakoidem, there's halacha. I know, this is way, way too abstract. The only thing to take out of this is when there is something called a chazaka. If this is what we've been doing until now, it's very, very dangerous to rock the boat. It's a very dangerous thing. And that's what he says over here. He says over here, you have people that are learning Torah. I know some people will say, let them get a job already. They already learned enough. Go out and work. Why do we have to continue supporting you? I don't know what's going on over here. Maybe you're talking about children, Tashbar, Tinoika Shalbeis Rabban. He says over here, there are people that have already been doing this for a long time, and now the question is, shall we continue to do what we've been doing in the past, or should we do something different? We'll take the money and we'll give it to different people who have never done this before, and now for the very first time, they're going to use this money to learn, and these people are me'acheinu! These are our own members of the Kehila! The old people that we've been supporting until now, anochrim! Strangers! You know where the money goes in Ezra's Torah. You know where the money goes in Yad Eliezer. You know where the money goes for Tom Cheshabbos. These are Nochrim. Tom Cheshabbos, Ezra's Torah, Yad Eliezer, Od Yosef Chai. Could anyone even say one person where the money goes? No one knows from nothing. They're Nochrim. And now we have a new whippersnapper. Is that the right word?
Whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper. Ah, young, fresh guy in the shul. He has a great idea. You see this all the time, right? Ah, I have a new organization. We're going to go do it. It's pretty much the same thing. Make the appeal for me. And even if you'll make the appeal for both, you really, like you just said, you're siphoning off some good money to someone else.
I saw it happen when I was a kid growing up. The bungalow, every year in the bungalow county, one shot as Elias went to Sullivan County Day School.
Okay. Right. Sullivan County Day School, yeah.
And then it came, okay, let's just split it now and also give it now to I don't know, Woodridge Yeshiva.
So what happened?
I was a kid. Maybe
there's a time for everything. Sometimes, you know, Adkan. Okay, Adkan, you know, when you find that people used to make an appeal for the UJA. Okay, I'm not saying anything bad about the UJA. They do wonderful work. I don't mean anything. But once someone showed an article.
Day school was a yeshiva school for kids. UJA has whatever projects. This was a yeshiva versus that, and it was like, take away from them and give it to somebody else.
Who says you gotta do it? Isn't that the case over here? And so you're telling me, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, that's Yochid. You know, and there are certain, someone showed the UJA was the quote that some of the money, I don't mean anything bad, I'm sure it was a big mistake, and the money was given to give free Christmas treats for poor people. Really? So you're making an appeal in shul?
The UJA?
Yeah. There was a scandal once. This goes back 25 years. So we're making an appeal for the UJA? Here's the article. Some of the money was given to go buy Christmas treats. What? That's what you're making there aren't other worthy organizations to make an appeal for? Okay, he's making an appeal for Israeli bonds. Buy Israeli bonds. So some people say, well, Israeli bonds, then with the government, what, a few bucks, how much money are we giving over here? Giving over here $3,000 to $4,000 for the Israeli bonds, they need millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to run the government. Give the money to some poor people over here. Every situation is different. You cannot generalize. Your case sounds pretty serious. Where you're giving money to a yeshiva, okay, a day school, whatever it is, you're teaching Torah Tinoiko Sholbei Shabbat for some of these kids. It's the only connection to Yiddishkeit. Oh, you can go give some yeshivish place out there. Come on, what are you doing over here? Don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. You cannot generalize. But all we're bringing down over here, he makes a very interesting point. Don't rock the boat. Don't rock, even though, look at the terminology, the people you're giving the money to, all these like Purim now Purim is in full swing, all these organizations, who's the money going to? Nochrim. Nochrim means strangers. You have no clue who the money is going to. Here you have organizations, they basically, if you want to ask, they'll tell you who gets the money. You can figure out who's getting the money. I don't know. I'm not the rabbi. I'm not a decision maker. But he makes a point and he says, be very careful not to rock the boat. Okay, one more thing over this is very interesting. This is a famous thing. Shimon does a very famous thing. One more thing over here, Shimon David. Maise b'bocher echad shoyim notu lomos. We vacillate. We go into two totally different topics. A person is a bocher. Does not say how old he is. Okay, young man that was about to die. Omar, he said, Tifduni, he kept on saying, whispering on his deathbed, redeem me, redeem me. No one understood what he was saying. What do you mean, redeem you? Redeem you from death? What does that mean? So, kachoyet soyek, and then no one understood what this guy was saying. Redeem me, redeem me. They went to a wise man. Amru lechacham, mahu oimer, omar lohem shemahu bukhar. What he means to say is he's a firstborn, peterechem, and his parents never did pidyoin haben. They never gave the kohen the five siloim. Amru, kain omar lohem liftoisai v'yichya. He's telling you to go give five coins to the local kohen, to redeem him, to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, and that will redeem him from death. V'yichya, miyod, immediately, nosnu l'choyhein hei sloim, v'choya, this kid will live happily ever after, these type of things. He lived for 25 years. V'choya, chof hei shanim, achar kach, he lived for 25 years afterwards. Okay, so just telling over here, this Kabbalistic stuff is that Pidyon HaBen is a zuchus for arichas yom ha'af l'mayn afkemina.
So arichas here.
How old was the bachar? Achveis tishan. How old? I don't know. Right? I don't know. I don't know what this means. Okay. L'may nafkamina, the nafkamina is not to play around and to do pidyon haben as soon as possible. Pidyon haben is a very complicated halacha. When do you do pidyon haben? It's a very complicated, very, very complicated, because pidyon haben needs two conditions. It must be the 30th day of the child's life, the 30th calendar day, not before, if it's the 29th day, but it also has to be the amount of hours when you actually give the money to the Kohen has to be at least 29 and a half days plus a little bit more. So you could have, if the baby is born at night, the baby is born at the end of the day, right before Shkia, right before sunset, and you go fast forward 30 days, then it's at the 30th day. But it's not yet when the sun sets, when it's tseis hakoychavim of day 30. Very good. It's now the 30th calendar day of this child's life, because the child was born 1 minute before sunset, and that means that if it's born 1 minute before sunset, that counts as day number one. So when you go fast forward, you come to day 30, when it's tseis hakoychavim on day 30, so now it's his 30th day, calendar day of being in this world, but he has only been in this world the amount of hours of basically 29 days. He's not been in this earth for more than 20, the amount of hours is only hours equivalent to 29 days. So just because it's his 30th day of life does not mean it's the 30th calendar day. It's not yet in hours you don't have 29 and a half days. So yeah, you're not allowed to do pidyon haben. You're not yoytzei if you do it at night. That night you have to wait until after chatzos the next day, a little bit more. And that is why, because of this confusion, and old, but let's say the baby was born in the middle, the first moment. Let's say the baby was born 1 minute after tseis hakoychavim. So then you can have the pidyon haben at night. Because at when you fast forward 30 days, it's 30 days plus, it's now 30 in hours, it's more than 29 and a half days in hours. But because of all of the confusion, loy plug. So big machloek is what to do when a baby is born at night. Loy plug. This is very, very common. The minig is in every single circumstance. The pidyon haben takes place the very last moments of the day, an hour before sunset. Why? In order not to have any confusion, no one should copy one another, in order to take into account the confusion of what happens when a baby is born a moment before sunset. Everyone in Klal Yisrael has accepted there should be no confusion to do a pidyon haben at the end of the day. That's why you'll notice when you go to pidyon haben, usually it's called for shortly before sunset, which is a very big inconvenience in the middle of the winter.
Right.
In the middle of the winter, when pidyon haben, Tuesday afternoon at 3:30. What are you joking? I have nothing better to do on a Tuesday afternoon at 3:30 to come to a pidyon haben in the middle of a workday? 3:30, traffic, to come to a pidyon? Are you joking? To go to Lakewood?
What?
Nothing. So Mayor's asking the question. So big deal. So just do it at night. Do it day 31, day 32. Do it on a Sunday morning, a Sunday bris, right?
Right.
That's the Sefer Hasidim. The Sefer Hasidim says that pidyon haben arichas yomim is toluy in pidyon haben. Maisa shehoya, a bocher was dying, pidu'uni, they redeemed him, he lived for 25 years. So that means the pidyon haben, there's some connection. And if there's some connection to the arichas yom of the child, you don't play around. The earliest moment possible, you do the Pinyan Aben. L'may nafkmina, some people don't follow the Sminuk. I think Sfardim don't follow the Sminuk. And that is, I'm not sure, I have to remind, some people don't follow this, and they hold that if the baby is born, the baby is born at night, there's no harm having the Pinyan Aben zurizim makdimim lemitzvahs, having the Pinyan Aben early in the morning.
But it won't be a full 29 and a half.
It will be. And if the baby is born at night, shows money.
They're born right before Shkia.
No, in that case, you don't have a choice. No, you're right. Of course, if the baby is born right before Shkia, then you don't have a choice. But let's say the baby is born at night.
But then, hold on. But then you're doing the Pinyan Aben too early.
What do you mean? You have to wait.
They have not been living.
The only time that you must do the Pinyan Aben right before Shkia is when the baby is born a few moments before Shkia. But if the baby is born at night or even by day, you when you make the calculation, you can theoretically make the Pinyan Aben even at night sometimes, and certainly you can make it early in the morning. Yet
before Shkia, then on that 30th day that you're calling the 30th day, they have not lived the full
right
days yet.
Right, exactly.
If you do it an hour before Shkia, and they were born two
no, of course,
Shkia,
no.
You still didn't hit your 20th.
No, you did. You did. If you go fast forward 30, it's 30th day of life. 30th day of life, and then the 30th day of life on the calendar, it's only 29 days. You need another 6+ hours. You need another 12 plus hours, which will take you to Chatzos Hayom, plus a little bit more. You must do the Pinyan Aben on the afternoon.
Of the 30th day. That's how many days of life?
Which is 29 and a half days of life.
That's how they do it if it falls on Friday.
Oh, so on Friday, not necessarily, it all depends. Who you ask? There are different customs. There is a circumstance when the baby is born right before sunset. You don't have a choice. The earliest time to do the Pinyan Aben is in the afternoon. 30 days later. It's the earliest time. But if the baby is born at night, or even the baby is born during the baby is born at night, you don't need to wait. Technically speaking, you can do the Pinyan Aben in the morning. Or let's say the baby is born on Shabbos. So technically speaking, you can do the Pinyan Aben Mitzoy Shabbos at night. Yet, by many, not by everyone, the minig is loy plug. You wait until the end of the day because of a minig yisrael of loy plug. Some people say, no, it's not correct to say loy plug. Where does it come from, loy plug? Some say that there's no real makar for this. And if your baby was born at night, no, you should have the Pinyan Aben as soon as possible. What's the rush? Sefer Hasidim. Life. You don't want to play around with the baby's life. If this was a medical procedure, you wouldn't delay 1 second. If this was a medical procedure, the baby's life depends upon it, you don't play games. So why should a mitzvah be any different? Zrizim makdimim lemitzvahs. Okay, enough said. We have to go now talk about Purim. Let's discuss...